This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
And a good morning to you as we've reached the end of the week and we're heading into football weekend of the divisional rounds in the AFC and in the NFC. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour. We'll also talk to Alex Gold out in Kansas City on the Chiefs and the Browns who are going into Arrowhead Stadium. You know, one of the things that you hear a lot, let's be honest, in sports and in life, cliches are used all the time. And I like to use them and then use them in a way that sort of either debunks them or takes them in a different direction. One thing you hear a lot about a team like Cleveland, and you can do this with any sort of playoff run for an underdogish team that hasn't made the postseason in a while or coming off an upset win, is that they're playing with house money or they have nothing to lose. And that is to give you an idea that maybe they'll come into this game a little different, a little more carefree. Maybe there's an angle to their game that because they're playing with house money, or there's a feeling like nobody believes in them and they have nothing to lose, using all of these air quotes, that the game would be that the game will go differently because that element added to their game may allow them to pull off this upset. I don't necessarily buy it. I've heard that this actually occurs. You hear players say this. Nobody believed in us. You know, you'll hear players say these cliches. But you know what? You do have something to lose. It isn't easy to lose a playoff game because nobody believed in you. Part of being a professional athlete is believing that you have a chance every time you go to practice, every time you go to a meeting, every time you stay late, every time you put in the extra work, every time you break down film. You know, no NFL player thinks they're going to lose a game. Otherwise, they wouldn't be at that level. You have to believe in yourself. So we fans tend to think the Browns are all just sitting around going, we got no chance, so let's just go out and play as loose as we can because in the end, Kansas City is going to win. They're putting in as much work as they possibly can, and when or if that day comes when their run is over, it hurts. And it hurts if it's a close game. It hurts if it's a blowout. I've never seen satisfaction on players' faces immediately after the game going, well, in the end, it was all house money anyway. You do have something to lose. And the Browns and the Chiefs and anybody in the postseason, no matter how much of an underdog they are, you do have something to lose. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser!
All right, it is the good, the bad, and the dumb here on Wake Up Call. Glad you could be with us on a Friday. So we're going to make your weekend even better. You know, we got four playoff games coming up. How can we make it better? Here's the good of the day.
You want to know how we can make it better?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you something to shoot for next time you're out on the golf course.
Oh, now, which I hope is soon.
Now, here's the trick. You got to find a par six.
Well, I don't think I'll find that, but I can create one.
Yeah. And then what you got to aim for is becoming the second person ever to score a two on a par six.
There's only been two people in the history of the world?
There's only been one.
Oh, you got to. So there's only been one.
You would become the second person.
I would be the second if I could do that.
To score a two on a par
six. Oh, give me the details of this par six phenomenon.
So what this is called, if you're doing your golf holes in knowing your birds, right? This is called a condor.
It's called a condor. Okay, so we've got birdie, we've got eagle, we've got albatross, and now we've got condor.
You got a condor.
Okay, so that's and, a four under par on a hole.
Yeah, so it's a par six. It's a golf course in Oakland where it was a par six. He ended up launching his drive about 540 yards downhill.
How did he do that?
It was downhill, and he had some enormous bounces.
Okay, so like hit the cart path kind of thing?
Probably. All right. Yeah, if you look at the hole, you can see it's one of those where, the tee box is much higher than the hole itself, which always, those always mess with your mind anyways because you think you're hitting it a lot farther than you actually are when you're...
Still, that's a pretty remarkable achievement, 500, even if you're uphill, it's still a remarkable distance.
And then that put him about 120 yards out, and he hit a pitching wedge from 120 yards out and nailed it.
He must have hit cart path.
Thankfully.
That's got to be way too far.
A marshal was nearby and able to validate this.
Oh, because he was playing by himself?
Well, I don't know if he was playing by himself or playing with some buddies or whatnot.
Well, why didn't his buddies verify this?
Well, they probably did. But, I mean, it just makes it more legit that a marshal was there.
Yeah, but you don't need a marshal to verify, like, a hole-in-one. You just need buddies.
Well, I know. But I'm saying it makes it more legit that a marshal is there, doesn't it?
All right. Well, I guess. I mean, but so, that's remarkable.
Yeah, you want to know how rare a condor is?
Well, you just told me one person has done it in the history of golf.
Well, one person has hit a 2 on a par 6. There have been 4 other condors. But
oh, it would be hole-in-ones on par 5.
Right.
Right. Okay. Okay,
there's
yeah.
There's only been 4 of those in the history of
That to me, I think that's the hardest, that's the hardest one. Because what you just described with the par 6 could happen. Oh, I hit the cart path and it just kept bouncing and bouncing and bouncing. Yeah. And now I've got an iron into the green and people hole out iron shots all the time. The par 5 hole-in-one, that tee shot has to bounce, has to go in some weird direction and then land in the cup.
Right.
That's where you get...
Or you can do like the first one that ever happened. The guy cut the dog leg and just was able to hit
it. That's interesting. That's interesting.
I don't know if that's lucky if you do that because, I mean, you can't see the hole. But here are the odds, okay? Here's the odds that the PGA gives out.
Okay.
For a hole-in-one, just your average golfer hitting a hole-in-one, it's 12,500 to 1.
Wow. Okay, that sounds lower than I thought, but that's pretty good.
Now, for a regular old golfer like you or I to shoot a double eagle or an albatross,
mm-hmm.
1,000,000 to 1.
1,000,000 to 1. Okay.
In order, the odds to get a condor, BGA doesn't have any.
Yeah, it's probably uncalculable if that's a word.
Yeah,
you probably cannot calculate that.
Yeah, but I mean, so in hindsight, then. Wouldn't having a condor be much, much better than having a hole-in-one?
Okay, let's say you, yeah, I would
even
think
if it's
so,
on a par
without
six.
Question.
Now,
without
I know there aren't too many par sixes out there. I mean, it's not really a thought process for many people, right? Many courses have a par six.
In my golf life, I've only had one eagle in my entire life. Now, I've putted for eagle a couple of times where I hit a lucky second shot that kind of bounced up on short par fives. But the only eagle I've ever gotten is when from 98 yards out, I hit it into the cup with my pitching wedge, my gap wedge. I kept the ball and everything, like at the scorecard.
Framed?
Yeah. Well, I have it displayed nicely in my office.
Of course
now,
you do.
Now, listen to this. If I had gotten a condor, I would have gotten a new club. Like, I would have said, well, that's 7-iron or whatever it is is going on the shelf. Like, I'm not going to use it ever again. I just made a condor. Like, that's going in a case, like a break glass type of case.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna keep everything. I might take some blades of grass. I might, cut a branch off a nearby tree. I might ask the course for the flag.
No, I was going to say, would you take the flag home?
I would take the flag home,
hey,
yeah.
Hey, I know it's a weird request, but do you have a saw handy? I'm just going to cut around this hole and take it with me.
I think so, yeah. I would ask the greenskeeper, is there a way we can make a new hole right now? I want that hole.
I
would take all the memorabilia that I can if I made a condor.
And on top of that, throw in the golf cart.
Why not? Right? I might even buy the golf club.
Yeah, exactly.
If I made a condor. That's awesome. All right, so then what's the bad of the day?
Well, I got 2.
All right.
One is kind of funny. The other one might ruin your day.
Oh, goodness.
All right. So the funny one is, timing is everything in life.
Right.
So this might be a really bad time for James Harden to be trying to open up his restaurant.
That's actually not bad. That's actually funny. You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
You said earlier, I might make you chuckle. That's
so
funny.
Yeah,
opening up a restaurant.
He's been trying to open up a restaurant. It's called 13. And the reviews are in.
Do they have good waffle fries or
no? What were some of the reviews that that the food isn't championship worthy?
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, so a lot more of where that came from.
I had to eat here. I didn't really want to be here in the first place.
Yeah, the food is literal trash, just like James Harden. They're all getting 1-star reviews, by the way.
No.
And the restaurant hasn't even opened yet.
Oh, that's awesome.
But it is bad timing, right?
I mean, really terrible timing. Can you imagine somebody is working there? Somebody is planning to work there? got a job, and now they're like, oh, my God, no one's going to come here and eat. And when they do, they're just going
to
complain.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's got to be hard to open up a restaurant during COVID.
I would think so,
you know, because there's all these different restrictions going on. You know, Texas just got hit again with restrictions where restaurants can only be at 50% capacity.
Yeah.
So it's got to be tough to try to make the ends meet. But at the same time, I don't know. I mean, if I'm hard and I don't know how far you are invested in it, or do you just backtrack and go, you know what, maybe this isn't a good idea.
Yeah.
Try to sell it off.
Sell it off to somebody else.
You know, try to take your restaurant tour talents to
find some other, find some other 13s that might be able to snag that restaurant off your hands.
It's funny.
What is the other bad of the day?
Okay, this one could ruin your day, okay?
Oh, don't tell me it's Killer Robots again.
Oh, no, that's the dumb.
Okay. All right. Oh.
There was a guy on Twitter who unlocked one of the darkest secrets we've ever known. And,
all right.
And it deals with the Lion King.
The cartoon
cartoon?
The last one they put together
with
the live animals. The cartoon, okay.
He decided to ask that question that none of us ever really asked. What happened to Mufasa's body?
Good question. I never asked that.
Right.
What does the wild tell us about a trampled lion?
So it turns out that hyenas do not eat lion.
Oh.
So he decided to take it to the Googleator and find out what animal eats a lion. And it, you know what the answer is?
Elephant.
A lion.
A lion. Oh, my goodness. So the relatives of Simba might be gnawing at the dead carcass of Mufasa. I can't believe I'm saying this.
I wouldn't plural that.
Okay.
Because when you watch the movie, and this is what you're going to have to do. All you guys listening out there, you're going to have to watch this cartoon. You know, sit down with your kids and watch it. Be fun. Fun family time. So Mufasa or Scar flicks Mufasa off into the cliff. He gets trampled by all the wildebeest, right?
Right.
There's a scene later on where that bird is in that prison, and he's like, oh, sing me something fun, right? And he's like, you know, I got a lovely bunch of coconuts, Tweedledee. Scar is playing with a skull.
So he ate Mufasa.
He ate Mufasa because the guy decided to take it a step further and go, oh, he's playing with the skull. What kind of skull is that? And it turns out that is a lion's skull.
Well done, Disney. Well done.
So
well done.
No detail left unturned.
Yeah.
Sorry to ruin your day that Scar ate Mufasa after killing him.
All right, real quick, before we get to the dumb, my thought is this. When they made that movie, you know how Disney does it where they go, we sent a team of people to research all of it. Like they did. Pixar does this too, where they're like, we're going to do a movie about fish, and then they send people around the globe to look at coral reefs.
Well, they did. Disney sent, when they were making The Lion King, I remember this, they sent them all to the LA Zoo.
So, again, wouldn't you be like asking a million questions as you're creating the story and doing the drawings, and that might come up, and then you're like, let's intertwine this in some capacity.
Yeah, and just never mention it, never say
anything. Yeah, never mention it, but somehow in your education, you discovered this little tidbit about lions, and you went, you know what, that's good, let's draw that in there. And the kids won't even know. But we know, and that's all that matters.
I mean, how long? It's been, what, came out in 94, right?
Right.
93, around that time?
Little hidden joke, little Easter egg that you get.
Now every time you see it, you'll never unsee it.
Sorry. All right. Yeah, what's the dumb of the day?
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise is in the dumb of the day,
Do you remember when Tom Cruise had that little rant?
Yeah, I do.
That tiny little COVID rant where he was chastising everyone because he's really set on making sure Mission Impossible 7 gets filmed. He does not want the studio to shut him down. Now, you know there's other movies being made right now, right?
Right.
And you don't hear about studios shutting those movies down. But for whatever reason, Tom Cruise is certain that if they don't follow proper protocol, that the movie's going to get shut down.
Yeah, they're not shutting down. That was filmed in London. They weren't shutting that bad boy down. Stop. Yeah.
Well, no, it's still being filmed.
Well, whatever. At
because
the time.
Tom Cruise, to make sure this film does not get shut down, has reportedly paid for two robots to patrol the set.
Awesome.
For to make sure that there are no COVID-19 violations.
That's exactly where 2021 is heading right
and
now.
And that's why I'm putting in the dump, because now we've given the robots a purpose.
Yep, we have. Now we've given the killer robots a purpose.
Yep.
That's exactly right.
I don't know what happens if they catch you not wearing a mask, but I don't want to find out.
Okay, again, remember Elon Musk's example? I don't want spam mail, so program me to not to get spam mail, and the end result is kill the spam people that send you the spam mail. That would be on a huge list. That's where Elon Musk had said AI could go. Same thing here. Protocol. Stop protocol. How do you want us to stop protocol? This. And then AI goes, why don't I just get rid of the people that are doing the anti-protocol things? Yeah, that's where we're going. Congratulations, 2021. That's awesome. The killer robots are coming. Unbelievable.
Yep, they're here.
Unbelievable. That's great. All right, Alex Gold's going to join us from Kansas City. We'll talk Chiefs and Browns. One other thing on the Browns-Chiefs game this weekend. We'll talk about that coming up next. It's Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you can be with us as we continue along. It is Wake Up Call. Alex Gold set to join us in Kansas City. We'll talk about the Chiefs and the Browns as we continue along this morning. We're talking about the Rams' chances against the Green Bay Packers. And listen, I don't think the Rams are going to beat the Packers. I don't think we're going to see that. But I did say, look, be careful. Don't go crazy here just thinking, oh, we could just blow that off.
Don't look ahead
because anytime you get a situation where you get a defense that's playing really good and can be threatening, you could have a situation where that carries them through to the end of the day. A weak battery could leave you stranded, so don't take a chance. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test that battery free of charge, and if it needs to be replaced, their professional parts people can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Likewise with the Browns, do I think the Browns have a chance against Kansas City? Oh, all right, the any given Sunday thing, I guess. But the only way that I would give the Browns a chance in this game is if they hold the ball for a tremendous amount of time, almost New York Giants-like in Super Bowl 25 against the Bills, where it's just an insane amount of time of possession. But even then, I don't think they can hold off Kansas City. One of the things that has been pointed out the last I want to say 2 weeks, but it's been more ratcheted up this week, is people pointing out how many points Kansas City scores off of bye weeks. It's an insane amount. Let me just spare you the details. It is an insane amount of points when Kansas City has a bye week. 40, 51, 31, 40. I mean, they're incredible.
Uh-oh.
So you can hold the ball all day, every day. Patrick Mahomes will whip it down the field in 60 seconds and score.
And he's had 2 weeks
off. Yeah, he's had 2 weeks. So that being said, I go back to what I was saying at the top of the hour. Look, could Cleveland go in with house money? Yeah, but I do think that one of the things that I always caution people about that attitude is, if you can see the finish line, that's when you start realizing you have a lot to lose. Right? How many times have you as a fan, no matter who you've rooted for in whatever sport, have had a team that has gone into a game like a playoff game in the NFL where you're like, man, no one expected us to be here. This is great. I never thought we'd even be in this position. We went 9-7, barely got in. Now we're in the AFC championship game, or we're in the NFC championship game. Wow. You know what? I'm just glad. But then take that game to the next level. Take that game to a point like it's the fourth quarter and your team has a lead. And you have the ball. Now act as if the game in that moment is house money. It doesn't work that way. I've had the Steelers in playoff games that I'm like, man, I'm just glad they got in. But then they'd be leading and they'd be winning. And you'd be like, wait a minute. You know, one of the more painful playoff losses I had was in 1989 season into 90. The Steelers started the season 0-2. They got beat by the Browns, I think like 52-0 in week one. Kind of struggled to get in, and they got in, and then they went on the road and they beat Houston. And then that set them up with a game against the Broncos. Bubby Brister was the quarterback, and of course John Elway was playing for Denver. And it was a divisional game, and the Browns, who were led by Bernie Kosar, they were going to be on the other end of the AFC Championship game. And the Steelers, you know, shouldn't be there, that kind of thing. Kind of had a mediocre season, but got in the playoffs anyway. Needed a lot of help to get in the playoffs. Needed a whole bunch of teams to lose to get in. And Denver, for whatever reason, didn't play up to the Denver of Elway. It was Steelers played right up with them. Merrill Hodge was running down their throat. Bubby Brister was actually playing a pretty good game. And the Steelers had a lead and then had the ball. And then Bubby Brister couldn't hear a thing. The stadium was so loud, and he missed a snap. He was in the shotgun formation. He fumbled a snap, and Broncos recovered it, scored, and that was it. That was all she wrote. And that was painful because even though I said all of those cliched things, like, well, it doesn't really matter. I didn't expect my team to get this far anyway. When the finish line was right there, a lead in the fourth quarter, a chance to upset this team and go, you change your feelings. Because now you've watched 30 minutes of football or 35 minutes of football or 60 minutes, 58 minutes of football, whatever it may be, and you're seeing a trend that lends you to go, wait a minute, we are competitive. We are in this game. We are not getting blown out. And players know they can win. Nobody knows they can win more than players because they know they're talented. They know they have a group of talented guys. And they know that on the other side of who they're playing are guys that are just as talented. Some more talented, but some less talented. And you've got to find the matchups. So they've been preparing all week to find the matchups. Sometimes it works and the game is closer than you think. And sometimes it doesn't and the underdog loses by double digits. But there's no idea, there's no feeling of, let's just be loose and house money, because I'm guarantee you, Kevin Stefanski, in whatever capacity Kevin Stefanski can keep this Browns team in the game, is not coaching a loose goose, let's just do whatever, it doesn't really matter, we shouldn't be here anyway type of game. He's got a specific game plan to maximize whatever he can and whatever he's noticed in all of the hours this week leading up to tape. Right, watching every single possible matchup. Can Mahomes be stopped with this? Can he be slowed down with this? If he can't be either, then what are we going to do? Those are things he's asking. It's still going to be very hard for the Browns to win this game because Kansas City does so many things right. Now, it's easy. If you're going to win a game in the NFL, run the ball, control time of possession when you have a dynamic quarterback. But even the Buffalo Bills, if you go back to that Super Bowl 25, which was done almost to perfection by the Giants, right? Running O.J. Anderson and just keeping running O.J. Anderson, not really throwing the ball a lot, defense doing a great job, one of Belichick's finest performances as a defensive coordinator. Remember, that game still came down to a missed Scott Norwood field goal, right? It still was, the Bills still scored enough to make it a game where they had the ball and controlled that game towards the end, miss a field goal, and the Giants win. It's not as simple as we make it, but it is really, to be honest with you, it's really the only answer for the Browns. They don't stop the pass very well. They just don't. And can you think of a worse team to play in the playoffs if you have no pass defense or very bad pass defense in Kansas City? I mean, not only are they the number one passing offense in the league, statistically, they have one of the greatest passers in the game in Patrick Mahomes, who will throw it sideways if he has to. I mean, he's unbelievable.
Yeah, he has new ways. I'm waiting for him to just throw it, switch it to his left hand and throw
it. Yeah, switch it to his left hand, maybe behind the back.
Yeah.
Maybe spin it on his finger before he releases it, right? I mean, all
Turn
sorts
around
of
around and then chuck it behind him.
Yeah, just chuck it, just throw it over his head, right, for a completion. There's so many different ways. So can the Browns run the ball? Sure, they can run the ball. They can run the ball fine. Will it matter? I mean, Kansas City can move down the field in 10 seconds. I don't think it's going to matter. You know? This over-under is 54. How much is Kansas City getting of that 54?
Well, I think after you talk to Alex Gold coming up next.
Yeah.
This is a rematch between these two quarterbacks.
Oh, because they played against each other in...
Yes.
Yeah, the...
Numbers for this game are absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah. Like, I can only imagine.
I mean, beyond
mind-blowing. They had a wild Big 12 showdown, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it was like... I got to look up the score, but I don't want to. I don't remember the score.
Oh, I got all the details.
Got all the details. We'll go over that coming up. Alex Gold next from Kansas City on the Chiefs and the preparations for the Browns coming up this weekend at Arrowhead. It's all coming up. It's Wake Up Call.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. We've been looking at teams in the playoff run, kind of breaking them down a little bit. So let's go to the Super Bowl champs. I mean, let's start at the top. Alex Gold joins the 610 Sports in Kansas City. He is the host of Cody and Gold. How are you, my friend?
I know, it's been a while. Great to talk to you, Tony. We're antsy here in KC. It seems like this week's taken forever. We had the bye week last week, and everybody's ready for Sunday at 2 o'clock.
All right, before we get to the intricacies of this game, let's talk big picture here, because Kansas City and celebrating the Super Bowl championship of 2020, this drought, this championship drought for a team that's got such a strong fan base, what is it, I mean, with all of the bad that 2020 has given us, what has been the post-Super Bowl feeling like in Kansas City riding through this season?
Yeah, so it's really all been about what the team established, honestly, immediately after they won the Super Bowl. Guys like Tyrann Mathieu, while they were on the field, they said, you know what, this is pretty fun, let's run it back. And immediately that became kind of the marketing slogan for this past year for the franchise, and it's been all about running it back. Can they create legacies? Can they become the next great dynasty? It's as simple as that. No matter what happened in the regular season and talk of would there be a Super Bowl hangover, but everybody's just been focused into, all right, can we fast forward to January, get to the postseason? They were able to obviously navigate through that and go 14-2, and so it really is just like anything but a Super Bowl championship this year again is going to be a massive disappointment.
All right, 14-2, really one loss when you look at it because of the throwaway game at the end of the season. That being said, is there anything that is concerning about the way the Chiefs were playing late in the season and a lot of these games that were close?
So that's been the huge story. And anytime we talk to anybody on our show from outside KC or nationally, they always are wondering about the close margins of victory that the Chiefs have had. And I think Travis Kelce kind of probably summed it up best. So he said, you know what, the most difficult thing has been being patient during this season. And so we have thought they've looked bored at times, Tony, playing these games, that they're kind of just one going through the motions and all that. And I think there is some of that. And so that's why I'm not as concerned on the margin stuff. If you want to tell me you're concerned about, you know, the pass rush at times, for example, I think those are all valid concerns. But in terms of, well, they're only beating their competition by single digits, they haven't beat anybody by double digits since, I think, mid-November. Like, I don't think they're going to be bored November stuff in January. Right? This is the playoffs. They know they're two wins away from going to a Super Bowl again. They're a win away from going to three straight AFC title games. So, like, if the reasoning that people are concerned about the Chiefs is that they're not blowing anybody out, I would just say they're not bored anymore, and this isn't college football. You don't blow out teams by 20-plus points on a consistent basis.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, where we are with him, and what does he mean for the offense for the Kansas City Chiefs?
That's the big question, Tony, today, to find out later today from Andy Reid. So what was concerning to me is he was a limited participant in practice on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday, that is, and then yesterday he did not practice at all. And so was there a setback there? He obviously is dynamic for them. He wasn't as effective in the passing game maybe as we thought he would be in his rookie year, but the guy still had over 1,200 yards or so in total offense. So if they don't have him, then it is Darrell Williams and Le'Veon Bell. But this team doesn't rely on the run to begin with. It's just, to me, they're not as effective, obviously, and dangerous if they want to try to use the screen game, which we hadn't seen a whole lot of, but people had kind of thought maybe that's something they would use in the postseason a little bit. That kind of goes away a little bit without Clyde. So it's Clyde and Sammy Watkins on the injury front. Sammy Watkins has always been kind of injury prone, but he had an incredible postseason a year ago and really found another level for them. So Sammy Watkins and Clyde are the two guys that right now are really iffy whether or not they're going to be good to go on Sunday.
We all remember why Kansas City got rid of Kareem Hunt. We remember the video. Him coming back with the Browns, is that a story? Is that an angle?
It, It definitely was something we discussed on Monday, but mainly because of the comments he had made after their win against Pittsburgh. So I don't know if you guys had seen or heard the audio, but he was on Instagram Live. They're obviously celebrating, as they should, having a good time in the locker room, and he says, you know, next week's personal. Next week's personal. And, of course, that's Kansas City. And so everybody took it a different way. I didn't think it was a huge deal because, to me, as long as he realizes that the Chiefs didn't do him wrong,
right,
then to me, him saying it's personal is just, hey, it's competitive. I'm going back to Kansas City. I know those guys. I'm friends with those guys still, which he is, and I want to beat them, right? It's just the competitive stuff. I think that's what he means. Now, if he means like, hey, they screwed me over and cut me, then that's ridiculous because, as you said, he has nobody to blame but himself for getting cut in Kansas City. The video comes out. He lied to the organization. It's a story because of that comment, but I don't think it's all that big of a deal overall.
So the Browns come off this great win against the Steelers. They caused some turnovers. They went in as probably at least looking as unprepared as you can given their COVID situation. That being said, what is it about Cleveland that may be successful against what Kansas City has?
I think you obviously have to look at their offensive line and then the running back unit. The O-line's interesting. We'll see where Jack Conklin is today for them, because if he's out after getting banged up in that game against the Steelers, then I think that's a huge difference maker. But it's no doubt the running back tandem that everybody's going to talk about of Hunt and Chubb, and rightfully so, but it reminds me of a similar conversation people had last year when Derrick Henry was coming to town for the AFC title game and saying, like, how are you going to shut him down? And Kansas City did a really good job on Derrick Henry. That was not an issue for them against the Titans. Even though they fell down early, it was actually because of Ryan Tannehill, not Derrick Henry. You know, you're in Nashville there. So, like, I think for Kansas City, it's actually going to be, does Baker Mayfield go out and have one of his better games of his career? And to me, it will take a near flawless performance from Baker. I don't believe that the defense of the Cleveland Browns and that secondary, even with getting Denzel Ward back, is capable of slowing down what I think is just going to be an aerial assault, really, from Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. I just don't think they have an answer for that. And so that's where I believe the Browns have a huge challenge. Like, I don't think it's the blowout that my co-host and others at the station do. I think the 10, which is the spread is, 10 points still, is a little rich for me. But, you know, Kansas City is going to win this game. I just don't think it's going to be the bloodbath that some people are thinking it's going to be.
You know, I've always said if you can narrow the focus of a story and get, you know, the people that have boots on the ground to give people like me who are on the outside looking in a little bit more insight, that's one of the reasons why I cherish these kind of conversations. On the outside in, looking at Patrick Mahomes' career, how it came about, what it was like when he was drafted, the sort of the C-plus grades, the C grades, and then for the Chiefs to sort of make that bold move, to take a guy like Alex Smith, who had gotten them to the postseason, not to the Super Bowl, but to the postseason, and then hand the reins to a guy that a lot of us didn't know how he would do in the NFL, but they seemed really confident it would work out. Is it as surprising closer to the situation as it is for a guy like me in Nashville?
Look, in Kansas City, man, it had been a long, long time since they had even drafted a quarterback in the first round, so I think there was plenty of surprise, number one, that they actually were going to finally do it. It had been since Todd Blackledge, actually, that they had drafted one in the first round. And so, yeah, I mean, it had been a while. And then there's just massive skepticism because they hadn't been, you know, they hadn't really developed the quarterback ever. And so to see this turn out, I mean, Alex Smith played a huge role in it, no doubt. People love Alex Smith probably more now than they you know, and cherish him now than they did when he was here, unfortunately, just realizing what he meant to the development of Mahomes. With that said, part of me also wishes, though, Tony, like, what would Mahomes have done his rookie season? Would he have had a Justin Herbert type of rookie season? It's hard for me to say he wouldn't have if he would have been given that opportunity, but that was beneficial, no doubt, having Alex Smith there. And just to see where we're at now, it is, you know, we call it the golden era of Kansas City sports right now, just because the thought is, even though windows in sports, as we know, close sooner than everybody thinks, right now it seems like that window for Kansas City is just massive and as big as it could possibly be for any team in sports.
Yeah, you're right. I don't want to get all hyperbolic on it, but it feels like, at least in the AFC, that sort of mantle that the Patriots have had has been passed to Kansas City. Everyone in the AFC now has to build their team around beating this team.
No doubt. And that's why I think it's interesting, depending on how this weekend goes, Tony. Like, if Kansas City beats the Browns and it's Buffalo or Baltimore, Kansas City is 3-0 in the last year and a half or whatever it is against the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson. They've had their number. The Bills the Chiefs beat in the regular season, although this Bills team is a lot better now than they were from, what, week five or whatever it was. But if Kansas City gets to a Super Bowl, they would have taken down Cleveland, who has Baker, another young quarterback. They would have gone through either Buffalo a second time this year, Baltimore a fourth time in 2 years. Like, it would be hard to find, like, who's the challenger for him? Who's the Manning or the Manning or Roethlisberger to Tom Brady? And I don't know if we would have one unless we see something different happen in the next week or so, depending on how KC and then Buffalo or Baltimore goes. And I actually think it's going to be Baltimore coming out of that one against Buffalo.
Always good to reconnect with you, Alex. Really appreciate your time. Hope to catch you down the road. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much, my friend.
You got it, Tony. Great talking to you guys.
Alex Gold, 610 Sports, Cody and Gold out in Kansas City on the Chiefs and our Progressive guest line. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. That is the amazing thing about Mahomes. It really is, you did not see a young quarterback go through the, you know, getting the lumps of playing in this league, you know, taking his hits, being a quarterback on a bad team, right? That, you know, you go 3-13, right? I mean, Peyton Manning struggled early in his career, threw a lot of interceptions, but you knew he was talented and he was eventually going to get his. Ben Roethlisberger was on a Steelers team that was sort of built to win. He helped them go to a 15-1 record, but then ran out of gas in the postseason. Didn't even play well in his first Super Bowl appearance against the Seahawks. But this kid has come right in, and somehow they knew that this was the right move to make at the time. Take over the reins, young man, and the rest has been history, right? An AFC championship loss to the Patriots in his first full season as a starter, second year in the league, and then into the Super Bowl and winning the championship in year three. And right, what does he do now? Where, you know, the Super Bowl hangover, everybody's now gunning for you. Everybody's now scheming against you. Everybody's building their team to model what you're doing, because they know if you're going to be around this long doing this, then if we're going to be competitive, this is what we're going to have to do. And what do they do? 14-2. And it's really 15-1 if you want to throw out the last loss because he didn't play. All those games were close, but still victories. And the number one seed on a break, getting to play with some rest, 2 weeks for Patrick Mahomes. They put up a ton of points off of byes, and Cleveland doesn't defend the pass very well. So they're going to have to run, and they're going to have to run and run and run. All right, one other aspect of this game we talked about with Alex involves Kareem Hunt. We'll talk about that coming up next. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage, Super Bowl Squares Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. All right, so we touched on, with Alex Gold from Kansas City on 610 Sports, on the Kareem Hunt reunion with the Kansas City Chiefs. He says it's personal. There's two ways to look at it. I think Alex broke that down pretty well. The one is just being competitive, right? You get a chance, you got a second chance after the video emerged and caused the Kansas City Chiefs to cut ties with Kareem Hunt. God, what year was that? Was that last year? Or was it 2018? I can't remember. Well, my mind is a muddled mess. I think it was last year.
I think you're right. I think it was 2019.
I think it was last year. Well, I mean, but 2020 has been like, it feels like it's been 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So, nevertheless, so either you could take it as competitive or he has an axe to grind against the organization, which I hope is not the case because he doesn't have an axe to grind with the organization.
It was his fault.
Like if it is true that, let's say, we can read into the mind of Kareem Hunt and we find out that, oh yeah, he does feel like he's been jobbed by the Chiefs. So this is personal. Now we've gone to a sports level of revenge for something that was a serious, serious situation for Kareem Hunt's character And the Kansas City Chiefs cutting ties with him because they didn't want that type of character in their organization. I mean, that video was pretty atrocious. And for him to then think that this is just a business deal, this is one of those sports things, makes me kind of hesitant to wonder if he's kind of rehabilitated with how he treated, you know, his girlfriend at the time. I mean, I don't like that. I don't like that angle. Look, if it's a competitive thing, like Alex said, all right, I agree. That's fine. You can say that. He's got friends on the team. All right, cool.
Yeah, maybe
going
he knows
back
the
to the
area
team that drafted him. Great.
Knows the area is going to be, you know, I mean, it's going home, basically.
But if it's a I'll show you that you shouldn't have let me go attitude,
yeah.
Then where are we in how he feels about that incident? Is he more concerned that he lost his job with the Chiefs? Or is he more concerned about, you know, I did something that was really wrong and I better learn not to do that again?
And let's face it, too. I mean, if he keeps running his mouth, is that just bulletin board material? I know we don't like to look at it that way, but at some point for the Chiefs defense, they're going to be looking at like this kid's just running his mouth, blaming our organization for something that he did.
Yeah, I wonder
about
that. Do
you think any of that will play into it where there's like, oh, we're just go in there and just shut him up?
Yeah, I wonder. I hope the Kansas City Chiefs are like, say what you want. We don't care. We're the Super Bowl champs, and
well,
you're not.
I'm just talking about the defense. I'm not talking about the team.
More the defense? Yeah, yeah. Maybe so. Maybe
you
so.
Know, the offense doesn't care at all. They're just like,
yeah,
you know,
offense is like, we're going to put up 60 points because that's what we do when we have time off.
Yeah, go ahead, Clyde, or Kareem Hunt. Go ahead and get your, like, 200 yards rushing. We don't care.
But again, the same conversation, we talked about this with Alex, which was here in Nashville all the week leading up to the AFC Championship game last year was, hey, how are the Chiefs going to stop Derrick Henry when he runs all over them?
Yep.
And they did. And it didn't matter at all. And that's, if the answer is run the ball, Kansas City will just beat you anyway. They'll figure it out. It's a tough game to see the Browns winning. All right, another hour. Wake-up call coming up next at Sports Map Radio.